This is episode 612 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life so you can love your people, get prepared, and live free. Today's article, Prepping 101, Steps You Need to Take Today. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey everyone, this episode is sponsored by the exclusive Prepper Website email group, which allows you to communicate with other preppers right from your email. You don't have to worry about your every link, click, or word being tracked by social media. This email group resides on the same servers as Prepper Website. So if you want some more information, head on over to PrepperWebsite.net or click the link in the show notes and it'll get you right over there. Hey, before we jump into our article of the podcast, I'd like to just give a shout out to Matt Tell, who left a 5-star review over on iTunes. He says, great prepper cast for new and seasoned preppers. A wonderful podcast and interesting commentary. I always appreciate the positive tone, good information, and exclusion of politics for the most part. Listen to it every week on my drive to work. Thanks, Matt, for leaving that 5-star review. It is always a blessing. Yeah, here the thing about politics in preparedness is it's part of it, right? And I know sometimes we get so tired of politics. And I'm just kind of going off here on a side note. On a lot of the prepper groups that I see, you know, politics starts going one way, and there's a lot of people in preparedness, right? Most people are going to be leaning to the right. But when politics comes into play, you can see in a preparedness group, things get crazy. And even when you get to like right-leaning people, you still have degrees of that. So you have some people that are like, there's no tolerance whatsoever. And some that are a little bit more to, you know, to the moderate side, leaning more into the middle. And so that always has a problem. You know, that always causes a problem is what I'm trying to say. And so that's always one of those things people aren't going to agree on. But I appreciate your review, Matt. Thanks for leaving that. It's always a blessing when I see a review come through on iTunes. And it helps other people when they're deciding about, you know, checking out the podcast and things like that. They will look at the reviews. I know I do. And I look at reviews and see if it's something that I want to spend a little bit of time with. And so thanks again so much for doing that. Guys, if you want to leave a review on whatever podcast catcher you use, that would be great. And it's very appreciative or appreciated. I can talk right. It's very appreciated. And I just want to say thank you for that. All right. So let's go ahead and move into our article of the podcast. It comes to us from foodstoragemoms.com. And I got to tell you, I did something a little bit different this time around. On this article, it says Prepping 101 Steps You Need to Take Today. And so Linda, who happens to be on the Prepper Website group, I love that she's there because she has a lot of just a lot of information and a lot of help. She's been very helpful just answering questions for people in the group. And so I love that. But she gave a nice little framework here. And as I was thinking and I was processing through this article, I decided to add more of my own tips, right? And so what I want to do here is every section, she has about 9 sections. And in every section, I want to add a tip, a basic tip, and then I want to add a pro tip, maybe for somebody who is a little bit more seasoned in their preparedness. And so what I did on this one, it's a little bit different than any of the other ones. And I don't know, it just kind of came to me and it just started, everything started meshing, right? I had the time to be able to do it, sit down and do it. I put together a freebie, right? A free PDF. You don't have to subscribe to the email list. You don't have to do any of that. I'm just giving it to you. There's a link in the show notes where you get a free PDF on all these tips that I'm giving you. And in a lot of the cases, I'm linking to other resources. So again, not anything fancy. I didn't try to like make it all beautified or anything like that. But it is a PDF, a 1-page PDF with the tips that I'm going to give and the pro tips that I'm going to give and then links and other resources and things like that. So you can download that in the show notes. It's going to be right there. Very easy for you. Just go on over there, click it, download it, and you can look at these a little bit later on, study them a little bit maybe, and click on the links that I provide for you. So I'm going to go ahead and read each little section, but then I'm going to stop to give just my tips on it as well. So again, our article is Prepping 101, Steps You Need to Take Today, coming to us from foodstoragemoms.com. Let's go ahead and get started. Is it possible to have priorities when prepping? While most people don't want to think about the worst that could happen, it's not going to stop that crisis from happening. Stop and think about your family for a moment. Say, for instance, if the power grid were to come crashing down tomorrow, how long do you think your family would survive? If you guess not more than a couple of days, you may be right. That may come across as harsh, but we're really being brutally honest. Keep reading to discover priorities to have when prepping. So Prepping 101, Steps You Need to Take Today. Maybe you don't know the first thing about prepping for a disaster or what all goes into it. Not to worry. Prepping is not just about stocking up on food and supplies, but several other important factors as well. Here are several priorities that you need to have when prepping for the worst. First one is living below your means. It's no secret that prepping can cost a lot of money. In most situations, people don't have thousands that they can spend to get prepared for an emergency. If things are tight, but you want to be able to prepare, you have to live below your budget. That means skipping eating out or buying things that you don't need. Any extra money that is saved, you'll be able to use on supplies that you may need. All right, so let me talk a little bit about my tips here. So she mentioned here, get on a budget or stay below your budget. And I'm going to say my basic tip here is get on a budget. There's many people who live and they get their paychecks and then that's it, man. They start paying bills and they start doing all that kinds of stuff. And by the time you realize it, your money is gone. But if you have a budget and you can tell your money where to go, right? Like I know where I have a plan. Just like you should have a plan for everything. You should have a plan for your preparedness. You have a plan for your money when you get your money, when you get your paycheck. And you're able to say this amount of money is going here. This amount of money is going there. This amount of money maybe for prepping, whatever. You have those budget categories. And so that is very important that if you're not living on a budget, you need to, because you'll be able to track where you're spending your money. And it's crazy when you start to really think about it and track. You spend a dollar here, $2 there, $5 there, $10 there, and then you think it's just $10, but by the time you know it, it adds up to a whole lot. And if you have a budget and you're able to be purposeful about your money, it makes a lot more sense and you're able to guide what you're buying and you're able to buy those necessary things. So the pro tip that I have for you here is start a micro biz or a side hustle. I talk about this all the time. And when I really started to process this, I realized that this was one of the main reasons why I was able to prep my family the way that I did and not let it hurt our family budget. And when I started Prepper Website, I started it on a budget. I started it with just a little bit of money. Things just really worked out. And so as I started getting money for different things, from ads and different things, maybe some Amazon affiliate money and things like that, I was able to buy the stuff that I needed for preparedness. And I didn't have to dig into my family budget. So if you find yourself like, hey, things are okay right now, but I'd really like to add to my preparedness. Maybe I'd like to add some food storage. Having a side hustle or a micro biz can easily add $50, $100, even more dollars every month to your preparedness budget. Just stop to think for a moment what you could do as far as water and as far as food, just adding an extra $100 or $200 to your budget every single month. And that's not very hard to do. There are so many things that you can do there. I mean, that's why one of my first books that I wrote, actually it's my second book. My first book was a complete free one, Education After the Collapse. And you can get that one free at the bottom of edthatmatters.com. But my second one was, a preparedness strategy for the preparedness community is starting a micro biz. And so I really encourage you to think about that and to start processing through that, because that is one of the major keys, is to be able to start a side hustle and have some money. And then, you know, not too long ago, I talked with Fernando Aguirre of The Modern Survivalist, and he talked about Argentina when they went through the collapse. It was the people who were flexible. So who knows? Your side hustle might turn into something more. Maybe if you were to lose your job, you know, God forbid, we don't want that to happen. But if you were to lose your job, maybe that side hustle could get your family through until you were able to find the job that really met your needs. And you didn't have to take the first job that, you know, that came around that really didn't meet your needs because you had the side hustle bringing in a little bit extra. So that's a pro tip there. And I know a lot of people don't. A lot of people are like, Todd, I'm too tired when I come home from work and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it takes a little bit of discipline to do that. There's things that I don't do, right? I don't sit down and watch TV. I don't watch a lot of sports. And to be honest, that's not something that I really want to do. I enjoy doing the things on for Prepper website and the podcast and the YouTube videos and all those different kinds of things. I just enjoy that. So if you find something that you enjoy and you can do your side hustle on that, then, you know, it'll just be like something is just, it's just something fun that you're doing and you can earn a little bit of money on that. All right. So I kind of killed that one to death. Let me go ahead and move on to the next one. The next one is collecting the necessary supplies. There's never an end to the supplies that you could gather to cover a wide range of scenarios. While that might not be what you want to hear, we'll take a look at the supplies that will be vital. First, you need to look at supplies that will take care of your most basic needs. That includes food, water, clothing, and medical supplies. You'll want to stock up around a year's supply of food for each family member in your household. This might sound ridiculous or too demanding. You don't need to gather it all at one time. And then you can buy a little bit over time. Consider stocking up on foods that are dried out and take up less space. They also last for many years without spoiling. All right, so here's my tip here on collecting the necessary supplies. Think about what you already have that can be used for preparedness. Don't get caught up in all the technical items. So you might read a blog post or you might see a video and someone's talking about some great preparedness item and it's cool and it's tactical and all that kind of stuff. The fact is that you probably don't need that. You probably have something that will work just as well. It might be a little bit bigger. It might not have the cool colors. It might not have the paracord wrapped around it or anything like that, right? But it can still be used. So when you're thinking about preparedness and you're thinking about those necessary items that you need, look around your house. You know, think about what you have already and start adding that. A lot of the times you can make your, you know, bug out bag, you know, the bag that you need or your, you know, your go bag or whatever, you can make that from things that you already have at home. So let me go ahead and share with you a pro tip here. A pro tip would be to make a list of what you need and look for deals. And as you acquire those, mark them off one at a time. One of the worst things that we can do in preparedness as we get going, right? And even we might be a little seasoned at this. And to be honest, this happens to everyone, is you see something and you say, oh man, that looks cool. I want to have that. Or, you know, again, you read an article or whatever, even if you're a seasoned prepper and you want to go and buy that, you start researching it. The real pro tip is, what do you need? What do you truly need? And you start making a list of those things, and then you're able to mark those off. So you're being very purposeful about your preparedness and buying only the things that you need, because we can add so much junk to our preparedness. I mean, I guarantee you, there are people out there in preparedness that have stacked rooms and rooms full of the next cool thing. And really, you know, is something simple that they would need. Maybe there's a simple tool that they need to turn off the water in their home, or, you know, at the street level or whatever, because water needed to be turned off and they don't even have that simple tool, but they have all these cool little gadgets that wouldn't amount to anything. And so really think about what you need for your preparedness, mark it down, write it down, and go off of that list when you're buying things. That's a good pro tip to consider. All right, so next up is have the right amount of food and water on hand. While you can go about 3 weeks without having any food in your belly, your body will only function for around 3 days without water before shutting down. Humans are meant to drink at least 1 gallon of water per day. If you have several people in your family, think about how much water you'll have to store. Please remember, I recommend 4 gallons per person per day for drinking, cooking, and personal hygiene. Instead of grabbing milk jugs to store your water, consider getting a few 55-gallon water barrels to store your water supply. It will also be important to have enough water preserver to treat your water too. All right, if I remember correctly on this water preserver, when I went to go look it up, I'm pretty sure that all it is bleach, or at least people were saying all it is bleach. And so you might want to look into it yourself. Don't take my word for it. That's just what I believe I remember reading. So going to the 55-gallon water barrels, that would be ideal if you could store those. If you have a place where you can store big 55-gallon barrels of water, that would be great. And a lot of the times you can find them on Craigslist, you know, and things like that. I mean, you want to find barrels that were used for food, right? You don't want to find a barrel that was used for chemicals or anything. But a lot of the times you can find barrels that had vinegar or pickles or whatever in there. And I mean, you'd have to wash it out really, really good. But you can do that. You can do that and have those that way. The problem with 55-gallon barrels is you can't just leave them in your garage. And so I know here in the Houston area, my garage can hit 120 degrees Fahrenheit really, really easy during the summertime. And so I don't want to keep water in a barrel in there. You would want to keep it inside. And who wants to keep big water barrels on the inside? So you can do that if you have a basement, if you have a room that's completely dedicated to your preps, your food storage and your water storage. And that is very possible. Other people, though, might not be able to afford. Maybe you don't want to go find and go through all the junk that would be cleaning out a 55-gallon drum or buying a brand new one. You know, here we are at the holidays, right? So if you're listening to this when it's being released, we're in the week before Thanksgiving, and then we're going to be going into Christmas. There's going to be a lot of Christmas parties. If you can get 2-liter gallons or two-liter bottles, that's what you want to do. And you can start your water storage that way. And so just tell people like, hey, I got a project, a plastic bottle project, whatever, you know, and you don't have to go into anything further than that. Can I take the plastic bottles home with me? You take them home, you rinse them out really well, put a little bit of bleach in there, you rinse them out, you know, with bleach, because you want to get all the sugar and all that kind of junk out, you know, let them air dry and then fill them up with tap water. If you want to put a teaspoon or a couple of drops of bleach in there, you can do that. If you want to do that, a lot of people are like, you don't even need that, because what causes the water to go bad would be any bacteria that's in there. So that means that you didn't clean out the water bottles good enough, or the 2-liter bottles good enough. And then you store it in a place that you can store it in a pantry, you know, somewhere along those lines. You have it inside and you can move 2-liter bottles a lot easier than you can 55-gallon drums, right? And so that is, you know, one of those things to remember. So that is my tip there. That is my basic tip. My pro tip is this: if you get to the point where you realize or you think there might be something that goes on that you might not have enough water, or a prolonged event, where are you going to get that water from? So maybe you use an online map and you start seeking out bodies of water around your area where you live that you can reach in order for you to filter and distill. And so that is a pro tip. Look at an online map. Look for bodies of water that you can get to. You might need some kind of cart to get there, or a bike or whatever. But eventually, if there is a prolonged event, you're going to run out of water. You need more water. Here's another pro tip. You might even want to set up a rain catchment system for the purpose of watering your garden, watering your plants, those types of things. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that you're being a good steward of the water that hits your roof and, you know, gets filtered down into some kind of rain catchment. But at the same time, you can use that in an emergency. There's a lot of things to consider there. You got to think about all the stuff that's on your roof and all that kind of stuff. You might even consider putting a first flush in. And that means that the first water that comes through is going to be diverted into a diverter. It's going to be just, you know, be able to run you know, out through the ground and go that way. And then all the rest of the water would go into the rain catchment system. And so that's still stuff that you're going to have to filter and actually distill if you wanted to be 100% safe. So you're still going to have to do that. But that is another pro tip that you might want to consider. All right, so moving on here in this article, we have the next section is warmth and dryness. So staying dry and warm will also be important for your health. If staying home is no longer an option, pack several pairs of clothes and an extra pair of shoes. Make sure that you have plenty of warm clothing and extra blankets for everyone in your family. All right, so one of the things here, my tip here is get used to dressing in layers. You know, learn how to dress in layers. It's one of those things it's hard to do here in the Houston area, especially when it's summertime. It's like you don't want to go out without, you usually want to go out with shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops because it's so hot out there sometimes. But if you can learn to dress in layers, that's always smart. You might live in a place, or at least it's happening right now in Houston as well, is where the day is nice and warm, but the temperatures are dropping at night to the point where you do need something like a little sweater. You need something, a little light jacket out there, at least right now. I know some of you guys are facing serious temperatures. One of the ladies at church travels, and she was up in Canada for 3 days, and she said it was miserable. It was cold, it was rainy, and it was just, you know, ice, and it was just miserable. And coming down back here to Houston, it's just nice and pleasant, you know. And she's from Germany, so she's used to all different kinds of weather, but she was just like, she was really glad to be in Houston. But again, the temperatures can change just like that, you know. So if you're out for a couple of hours, your body temperature can do all different kinds of weird things, and you don't have to be in like extreme danger or extreme temperatures is what I'm trying to say. Extreme temperatures for your body to be in danger because of the temperature fluctuations and your body temperature fluctuations. So make sure that you learn how to dress in layers, even if it's getting to the point where you can wrap something around your waist or something like that, or you have a bag that you can put a sweater or a jacket or a long shirt in, whatever, you know, think about that. The other thing that I would add here, just a basic prep tip, is get some thermals. I have some thermals that I have used. They make all different kinds. So they make it like a really light thermal. So when it's not like, I don't know, maybe you're cold natured or whatever, but then they have them all the way up, right? So like if you're going to be in extreme, cold. So if like those of you that are up north, I would say, yeah, you want some of those thermals like that to be with you, to carry those maybe in your backpack, maybe in your vehicle or something like that. I know that thermals have saved me before when I have gone out and I've had to be in the cold for long periods of time. Last year, I did our church goes out to an area and we feed the homeless every so often, right? There's a date that we always go, a certain day of the month. And they asked me to share a message at one time. So we were out there and it was freezing cold, but I was able to put on my thermal top. And I had a sweater on. I even had a jacket over that. And I was nice and toasty. So I wasn't freezing. I could concentrate on what I was saying and what I needed to do for that moment. And so it was just really smart. So again, if you dress in layers, you have thermals, you can always take it off if you have to. But I think it's just smart. And right now where it's the wintertime, you can walk into a lot of sporting goods stores. You can always order from Amazon. You know, I think it's just smart to have thermals that will work for you. And so here's a pro tip for staying warm and dry, is I'm going to say learn to build a shelter. And there is, you know, there are just some really great shelters out there that are not hard to do with a little bit of material. You can build a shelter if you find yourself out there in the wild. But then I'm going to say for those of you that don't plan on going out into the wilderness, if you ever have a situation where it is cold and you can't, maybe you've lost your heat or whatever, learn to build a shelter within a shelter. And what I mean is learn to close off a room and have everybody that is in the home stay in that one room so that everybody would stay warm. I mean, you have blankets, and I know that Linda talked a little bit here in her article about having extra blankets and warm clothing and all that. But there's something about having people all in one room. Your body heat is giving off heat, and you're able to keep a smaller space warm. I've even read articles before where someone would set up a tent inside of a room, and so everyone slept inside of the tent, and that kept everybody warm in a cold situation. So learn how to build shelters. That's the pro tip. Learn how to build a shelter within a shelter. Now, if you build a shelter within a shelter, meaning you close off a room, remember, you always need airflow. So you don't want to close it off completely. You always need air to be able to come in and come out, right? That's very important. All right, next one is stocking up on medicine. There may not be any doctors or prescriptions that can help someone in your family get over an illness after SHTF. Stocking up on medicine that can fight common colds and flu-like symptoms, as well as having plenty of pain relief, will be important. Having a first aid kit for cuts and abrasions will be a smart move. All right, so let me go ahead and give you my tip for stocking up on meds is stock up on the basic meds that you use all the time. Go to your medicine cabinet right now and see what you have and buy extra of that. Medicine is never going to be cheaper than what it is right now. And if you need, you need your basics like your ibuprofen or your Tylenol, whatever you're going to do there. You need something for maybe allergies, right? Some kind of Benadryl. But all the other medicines that you use, think about that. Or think about the medicines that you normally use. Maybe you ran out of that medicine, right? And just think about all of that and go buy extra. It's never going to be cheaper than what it is right now. And if you have a membership to Costco or to Sam's, they buy, I know that we have purchased big bottles of ibuprofen for very cheap at Sam's. We have purchased big bottles of Benadryl for very cheap. And it's something that we used, on a regular basis. We have allergies and different things like that. So make sure that you have those items, because if there ever was a deal, well, let me say this. If you ever go to a drugstore, so if you have a Walgreens or a CVS or whatever drugstore that you have in your local area, go into it. And I want you to walk down like the cough and the allergy section, the pain medicines. I want you to go look at that and see how deep they go. They don't go very deep. They might go two or three deep. They don't carry a lot of stock on hand. Think about, I learned this when, the flu and stuff like that is going on. And I went to go look at the N95 masks that they had, and they didn't have any. They were all sold out, like the area where they had, and they didn't have very many. And so after all the flu and all that kind of junk, it settled down and they restocked. I went to go look, and they only had like two packages of N95 masks. So if you think you're going to go to the drugstore and you're going to stock up, you're going to be sorely mistaken there. You want to make sure that you have the meds that you need beforehand, because those are going to be important. Think about a sick child. Linda was talking about your family. Think about your family. Think about someone who's sick and they don't feel good, and you're able to give them some medicine to reduce a fever or to deal with allergies or whatever it might be that they need to deal with. One of the things about the flu, you want to have all the different things. There's essential oils you can use. There's natural, herbs and stuff that you can use, all that kind of stuff. I would say, because we're in the cold season going into the flu season here, I would say look at Sambucol. That is elderberry. It's one of the elderberry medicines that's out there that they tested, and it did really well against the flu. It worked. Actually, some of the studies show that it worked very well even against the ThermoFlu, right? It worked just like it if you could catch it in time. And so it is an immune booster, elderberry, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Good stuff. You used to only be able to get it online. Now you can get it everywhere. You can get it at all the drugstores. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it, even at Walmart. I've seen it at Walmart. And so you might want to get some of that. And they have those in chewable tablets. They have it in liquid, but they also have it in chewable tablets if you want to get that. Maybe those would last a lot longer than the liquid. All right. So here are my pro tips. I'm going to actually have two. All right. My pro tip is learn about fish antibiotics. And Todd, what are you talking about? Fish antibiotics that are out there are human antibiotics. They just don't say human antibiotics, right? And so I did a long podcast with Dr. Joe Alton from doomandbloom.net, right? I call him Dr. Bones. That's how I first met him. And I always just, that's the way I, when I talk to him, that's just the way that I remember and I just go there. But we did a long interview. We actually did two episodes. And if you go, remember, if you download the PDF, I have a link, a direct link to that episode. And so you can listen to that episode. And also on the, in their book, the Survival Medicine Handbook, they have a big section on antibiotics that you can look up. And I would highly recommend it. So here's my second pro tip. Remember that meds don't go bad. They just lose their potency. Now, that doesn't go for liquid medicine. Liquid medicine, you want to go by the expiration date on that. But all the other medicines, I'm talking about tablets, I'm talking about capsules, those do not go bad. They just lose their potency. And again, that is another interview that I did with Dr. Bones, and they've done a lot of that in their on doomandbloom.net. I actually linked to an article about that. And so they don't go bad at all. The government did a big research project on all of that. And so, you know, consider that. Never throw medicine away, unless it's the liquid stuff, and I can understand that. But don't throw medicine away because it can be used in an emergency situation. And so you want to be able to have that available. You never know when you need it. Again, it doesn't go bad. It just loses its potency. You know, it's the drug manufacturers that want you to throw things away after a year so that you can go buy more. It's the same kind of thing with food, right? And it's has a lot to do with the liability and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, that's a big pro tip. Remember, medicine does not go bad. It just loses its potency. All right, so moving on here to the next one. Linda's talking about protection here. So your protection, your personal protection, will also be extremely important during an end of the world scenario. And so I'm going to add, not only during the end of the world scenario, even nowadays, because things are absolutely crazy. And especially when you're talking about the holiday season, some of you are going to go participate in Black Friday. You're brave. But you know, when you go out and you start doing the Christmas shopping and all that kind of stuff, there's always bad actors out there. So this is not just for end of the world scenarios here. So let me continue on. While you may never want to use them, it's better to be safe than sorry. Your family safety is more important than that lunatic that will stop at nothing to steal your resources. Have a number of guns and healthy supply of ammunition, as well as knives for close range confrontations. Having other tools or objects that can be used as a weapon isn't a bad idea either. It's also important that you learn how to use those weapons and how to load them properly. All right, so let me give you a little bit of some of my tips here. Number one is this: when you're talking about personal protection and defense, this is the key, is stay aware when you're out there in public. Have situational awareness. That is the first thing for your defense. And, you know, before you're even talking about weapons and you're talking about all that and fighting and all that kind of junk, before you even go there, your first line of defense is being situationally aware. So when you're walking out of the mall, going to your car, you know, a lot of malls, especially during the Christmas season, will offer that a security guard will walk you to your vehicle, right? And so you can always ask for that. Or if you're at a store, you know, you can always ask a clerk to walk with you to your car if they allow that and they offer that service. But then the other thing is just be situationally aware. People are always looking for ways to beat the system and to harm other people that aren't paying attention. So if a crook sees you, or somebody that wants to do you harm sees that you are paying attention and that you can see them coming, they're going to wait for another target. They're going to wait for someone who is, you know, has their eyes on their phone. They're going to wait for someone who is just, you know, not paying attention at all. But if you have your eyes open and you're looking around and you're paying attention to what is going on and who's around you, that is the first line of defense when you're talking about personal protection. So that is my big tip there, is maintain situational awareness. My pro tip is this: if you can, conceal carry. Now, conceal carry, That's it has a lot there, and this, you know, you can do multiple episodes on it. You can do whole podcasts on concealed carry and firearms and all that kind of stuff. So you definitely, if you conceal carry, you need to go get training. You need to, you know, a lot of, I don't believe there's any states where you can just go apply for a concealed carry permit and then you go. I mean, there's some states that have open carry and it's just, you know, you can do that. I think Montana, I'm not sure. I believe Montana is like that without any kind of license. But for the most part, you have to, you know, go through a course. You have to pay for the license. You have to do all that kind of stuff. And so you want to get training, all that, blah, blah, blah. You know, we've mentioned that before in the past. So concealed carry is important. And if you can't conceal carry or you're living in a city or a state that doesn't allow that at all, think about the other things that you can use to defend yourself. Think about other ways that you can defend yourself, whether that is, you know, using some kind of mace, whether that is using some kind of device that gets really, really loud to draw attention to you when someone is trying to do you harm, whether that is, you know, some kind of, I don't know, even having your keys between your fingers, you know, in a balled up fist, so that when you punch someone or you're fighting someone, that it will go into their skin or into their body and it will hurt them more than just hitting them with your fist, right? And so that is another pro tip, is if you cannot conceal carry, find things that you can use that would maybe not draw attention to other people, right? Like carrying a bat would draw attention if you're carrying it out in the open. But there's other things that you can carry that might not draw attention. Even a magazine, a rolled up magazine could be helpful, right? So think about that. Situational awareness, make sure that you are paying attention, and then have a way to defend yourself if needed. All right, so moving on to the next one here is beware of exposure. While most people think that going without water is the worst situation to be in, think again. You may last for a couple of days without water, but you'll only last for a couple of hours if you're exposed to harsh temperatures. If you're left without a home or shelter in a blizzard, frostbite and hypothermia are not far behind. Direct sun exposure in a hot region is dangerous also. Planning ahead by having more than just one location to turn to is important. All right, so let me go ahead and give you my tips here. My first tip is, and this is just my regular tip here, is pay attention to the weather. There are so many people that don't know what's going on. And nowadays, there's no excuse, right? You can buy a little NOAA radio and just have it, you know, on your kitchen counter and hit it in the morning when you're getting ready, you know, getting your coffee or whatever. But even more than that, everybody has a smartphone. There are apps out there, good apps, that you can download for weather. And so find a good weather app that you feel comfortable with, that you like the information that it's providing you, and go with that weather app so that before you leave the house in the morning, you don't have to watch the news. You don't have to go to the internet to bring up, you know, weather.com or anything like that. You can just open up your app and you can see, is it going to be rainy? Is there going to be a temperature drop? Is it going to be super hot? Is there any warnings out there? Right. And you have all these things that you can think about, or you can make provisions for your day by just looking at a quick glance at your app. Right. So here's the second thing, is this is my pro tip, is learn what happens to the human body in extreme heat and cold and how to protect against it and treat it if necessary. And so like, Todd, I would never find myself in that situation. Well, I'm not saying that you would purposely put yourself in that situation, but you might find yourself in that situation. You might be treating someone else who is in that situation. So what does extreme temperatures, or whatever happens to the body, what does that look like in extreme temperatures? And how can you help someone that maybe is hurt, or how can you protect yourself in that kind of situation? So that would be a big pro tip there on that. And, you know, Linda mentioned frostbite, hypothermia, and all that kind of stuff. But also you have, you know, the extreme heat and stuff. And so what could you do there to help yourself or help someone else? A pro tip would be to learn the signs and learn how to deal with it. All right, so next up is learning essential skills. It should be on every prepper's priority list to learn essential skills for survival. Having knowledge is actually more important than having supplies. While you might have all the right supplies, if you don't know how to use them or don't know what to do to overcome an obstacle, those supplies will be worthless. All right, so this is an important one because, again, I mentioned there are people out there that have rooms and rooms full of preparedness stuff, and they just been stocking it, and you know, over time they never busted things out of packages and used it. I mean, if you've bought a water filter, have you taken that water filter out? Have you tried to use it? And have you filtered water through with it? You know, and can you use it if there was a situation where you didn't have time to sit there and figure it out? You needed to go ahead and get some water or whatever it might be, whatever, you know, kind of gear or whatever you have purchased, right? So anyway, how do you learn essential skills? Not just talking about gear and having gear, but, you know, having those skills and having that ability to process and get through certain, whatever it might be, an emergency situation is this, right? Use blog posts. There's so much information. We are in information overload almost to a point nowadays because it's so easy to get information out there. I talk a lot about preparedness websites that have gone down. There are a lot of websites I keep finding that go down. So it's important to have other preparedness websites that are coming back on or coming online and sharing information. And we need this information because new people are coming to preparedness all the time. We need the podcast. We need the YouTube videos. We need all that kind of stuff. And there's plenty of that to go around. So you can learn a lot of skills, not just how to do things, but also how, you know, the mindset that you need to have, the problem solving that goes along with it. So there's a lot of things that you can do out there. And so here's my pro tip. My pro tip is this: be specific to identify and learn skills that are the most appropriate for you and your situation. And this is what I mean. I love to see or to watch videos. So if you're in the email list every once in a while on the Saturday prep, I will link to a video of some kind of, I guess they do an overnighter, right? Out in the woods and whatever that might be. And so I love watching videos like that because you can always kind of pick up wilderness tricks and tips and you know, bushcraft and survival things just by watching those videos, especially if it's not just what they're doing, if they're talking you through it and giving you advice and telling you why they do. I mean, I love those types of videos, right? But here's the thing. I don't spend a lot of time out in the wilderness. It's not because I don't like it, not because I don't want to. I just don't. I mean, I live in the suburbs. I have a job, you know, in the suburbs. My world is in the suburbs and in the city and all that good stuff. So really, my skills that I am trying to learn and I'm trying to beef up should be specific to my situation. I talked about finding water. Like, eventually, if my water ran out, I would need to have more water. I need to get more water and more. Need to be able to filter it and distill it and all that kind of stuff. So one of my skills would be to know where I can go get water and be able to use a map and be able to navigate to that place if the internet went down and vehicles weren't working or whatever. Could I get over there, get water, and bring it back to the home? And so that is one of the things that you need to think about, is learning skills that are specific to you. It's great to be able to go out and do the bushcraft thing and to do all that kind of, I think those are just good skills and they're fun to know. But if you don't have any other basic skills that, you know, like I already mentioned, like turning off your water. If you had a water leak, you're able to turn off your water to your home. If you think you smell gas, go turn off the gas. Do you know where to go to turn off the gas? Do you know how to, turn off the breaker? Or do you know how to, you know, flip a breaker back on if you've kicked a breaker, right? Do you know how to turn on your pilot light if you have heat? You know, if you do that for the winter time. Do you know how to, you know, light up your furnace, whatever, you know, all the different things that are out there. Those are skills and things that you need to learn. And again, you can do a lot of this on YouTube. There's a lot. If you don't know how to do some things, I tell you what, I switched out parts of my refrigerator just by looking at videos on YouTube. I look up the model, they have a video, I wind up ordering the part, and I go ahead and change it out. And it's like, man, it just that, you know, having that skill of being able to use tools and being able to figure things out, that is one of those things, right? So be specific to learn the skills that you need for where you're at, whatever that might be, okay? And so that's my pro tip there. Let's move on to the last one. The last one is having a community. Now, many preppers think that when SHTF, they should run to their bug out shelters immediately. That's because they think that people will wreak havoc and begin killing each other in order to survive. That could prove to be true. However, most of these lunatics will prey on the weak and the groups with small numbers. Your bug out location is important to have, but it should not be your first resort. Bugging out means that you're relying on you and your family to battle everything that comes your way on your own. This can be dangerous and deadly. It's a better idea to have a community of friends and family to bunker down with to work together for survival. That way, if you need to go out and hunt or scope an area out, you'll have the comfort of knowing that your children are protected while you're away. All right, so again, talking about an end of the world or SHTF scenario, but really you need community now. You need community, preparedness community now. So my tip here is connect with others online who you can identify with and get support from. And so that is one of those things. So you have Facebook groups, you have forums that you have, but this is one major reason why I started the Prepper Website email group. And again, that is a group where you buy into it, right? And so that takes all the, and it's not a lot, it's $10 a year. And so it takes everybody who wanted to join it to spam and to cause problems, it takes them out of the picture. How many groups are you in where there's people that always come and cause problems, right? And so the people that pay the $10, it's not a lot of money, but at least there's a little bit of a fee to get in. So you know that they really want to be there. So you're in this group and you are able to email, you send to one email and it goes to everybody in the group. And so whatever the topic might be, you might write an email on whatever, and then people in the group, if they want to respond to you or they want to give you some advice or whatever, they can respond to that email. Or, you know, they might write another email or whatever it might be. But, you know, you have this ability to have a community, an online community, and it's free from social media. It's free from all the tracking. It's free from all of that. This is on email, completely on email. You can do it from your phone, from your tablet, from your laptop, from your computer. Wherever you have email, you can run it straight from there. And it resides on the same server that Prepper Website resides on. So, you know, it's one of those things that I feel very comfortable with. So that's very important. Connect with people that you can learn from. Connect with other people online. So my pro tip is this. Be intentional about building relationships with those around you who are more self-reliant minded. This takes a little bit more skill. Again, this is a pro tip, right? This takes a little bit more patience. A lot of people want to be involved in a prepper group. That is one of those things. I mean, you want to be involved in a prepper group because you know that there is a benefit to it. But the fact is that it's not as easy as maybe an article that you read out there, or it's not as easy as going to the website and saying, hey, I want to link up with this prepper group. There is so much that goes into it. But if you can start connecting with people that have a little bit more of a self-reliant bent. And, you know, when you talk about self-reliance, you don't need to talk full prepper. You're just talking about people who understand that it's important to, you know, that they drive their ship, right? That the government's not driving it for them. And so you have that aspect of it. And so you can start from there. That's a good starting place. And there's people around you that believe that way. There's people in your neighborhoods, in your communities, at your workplace that believe that way. And it's just being purposeful and listening very closely and building those relationships with those people. So that's my pro tip there on building community. The final word here in this article, it says, it's also important to be careful who you share your prepping information with. Do you trust that individual with your life? If not, it's best to keep your mouth shut about the whereabouts of your bug out location and where you keep your supplies. It's all about prepping 101, steps you need to take today, preparing aimlessly for an emergency versus prioritizing what you're preparing for are two separate things. There are several priorities that you should have when preparing for the worst. If you've been a prepper for a while, what other priorities do you have that should be considered? May God bless this world, Linda. And so there are a couple of thoughts here that you can go. This is a new article that just came out, and Linda has a great community over there, and she's always so responsive. So if you write a comment, she's going to respond to it, and she's going to help you out. And so you have that over at foodstoragemoms.com. Like always, I'm going to link to this article in the show notes. And guys, remember, I'm also providing this free PDF of the different tips that I've put together, and also the pro tips and links and all that kind of stuff. It's a free download. You can download it and check it out. You don't have to if you don't want to. There's no stipulations on it. It's just going to be a straight download so that you can have it and go a little bit further with your preparedness. That's the thing. Go a little further, go a little deeper than you were yesterday. What can you do to add to your preparedness? And so you're always moving forward. You're always doing that because you realize that this world is so fragile. And the more that you pay attention to it, the more you realize, like, you know what? I want to be able to have things in place for myself and for my family and for my loved ones. And so that I can help them in a time, in an emergency situation. So I can be there to help them in that way. Well, everyone, that is it for episode 612. I hope if you're listening to this the week of Thanksgiving, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And if you are listening to this after Thanksgiving, I hope you have a great week and a blessed into the year as we start moving into 2020. That's super crazy to think about that we're moving into that year. Hey, if you are not subscribed to the podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe in any of your favorite podcast catchers. We've made it very easy because we are on all the big networks. We're actually on Pandora now. And so that's so cool. So if you listen to Pandora, maybe you listen to it at work, you can easily bounce over to the Prepper Website podcast page on Pandora and you can listen to us there as well. So that way you never miss another episode of Sweet Prepper Goodness. Hey, and don't forget to connect with me. I have all the social medias, but I try not to spend a lot of time there. It's really just a big time suck. I'd really love for you, though, if you would connect with me on my email list. And when you subscribe to the email list, I will give you a free PDF, 25 handpicked preparedness articles that you should read. A lot of these articles, or some of these articles, all the articles are handpicked. So I went through all of them. Some of these articles you can't find anymore online, but because I have the link, I was able to find them and go ahead and find them on archive.org. So I have them available for you. Really great articles. So you get that when you subscribe to the Prepper Website email list. And I'd love for you to do that. And I send out usually an email on Tuesdays, and I send out an email on Saturdays, the Saturday prep with links and to episodes and podcast episodes and videos and articles that I haven't put up on Prepper Website. So I'd love for you to be a part of that. So with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until next week, stay prepped and aware. Peace.